Ouais, comme bon. Let's pray for the message that we all have ears to hear. Lord, I ask that you give me the clarity I need to do this message right. I pray that you would empower it by your Spirit to be a word for each of us here. I ask that you would open our ears so we could hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the third message in a series on the game Hide and Seek, which is a game we all play. In the first message, we went looking for God. I used Finding Waldo, that book, as my example, and we had a few pictures up here. If you've seen the kids' books there, where you find Waldo and pictures that are just filled with people doing all kinds of things, and you know that God is like that in our lives some of the time. It's sometimes very hard to find God when there's so much going on in our lives and when we're so busy with all the things that we do. God is hard to find unless we really pay attention and go looking for him. Last week, we looked at ways that we limit God's presence in our lives and get set in our ways. I talked about how we can fall into reruns of God by taking from our past experience, and then those reruns of God become our God. And there's a huge difference between the God of our experience and our experience of God. We can miss what God is doing right now in our lives because of what we think we know. Our past, your past, my past, is always competing with our present experience. We expect God to be where we have seen him before. In a sense, God is hidden from us because of the lens of our understanding of the world. It will not allow him to be in a new place or a new way in our lives. So the last 2 weeks, we've been playing the role of seeker in the game of hide and seek. We have been looking for God through the lens of our own experience. Today, I want to reverse roles. What about when God comes looking for us? What about those times when we are hiding from God? Last week I told the story of my brother playing hide and seek with his 2-year-old daughter, Lindsay. And the first part of the game was when Lindsay was looking for her father. But the second part of the game was when Lindsay wanted to play the part of the one who hides. And Lindsay was 2 at the time, and so she decided that she and her dad would reverse roles, and she wanted to go hide, and my brother Jim was supposed to find her. Well, the way my brother tells it, this is where the whole game got kind of interesting. My brother Jim went to the couch and covered his eyes and slowly counted to 10, and when he finished, he said, "I'm going to find Lindsay, so here I come," and he opened his eyes, and he couldn't believe what he saw. Right in front of him, about 4 feet away, standing up against the wall, in plain view, was Lindsay, with her hands cupped over her eyes like this. She was so excited and squirming around. It looked like she had to go to the bathroom. Lindsay was hiding by doing this. In her mind, she thought if she couldn't see her dad, then he must not be able to see her. She was hiding. And we are so much like that little girl. We cover our eyes and think that God can't see us. Today I want to talk to you about how we play hide and seek with God and how we try to hide in plain sight like Lindsay. And I want to talk to you about things hidden and yet they're not hidden. And when it comes to our relationship with God, how we do this game. Hide and seek is a game that most all children have played, but it's not just a game that children play. It's a game that we all play. All of us play it continuously all of our lives. We never stop playing hide and seek. Sometimes we don't have much of a sense for God's presence in our lives, but there's no mystery to it at all. The past 2 weeks, we've been talking about finding God in our lives, but today I want to talk to you about when God comes looking for us. The truth is that our desire for God can be very selective. We want God to be around some of the time, But other times, we don't want God around at all in our lives. I remember my kids, when they were young, showed me a picture of why we don't want God around. Have you ever been around a child and you're watching that child, whatever they're doing? Sometimes they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Sometimes they feel insecure about what they're doing, or they're very self-conscious, and they will say, "Don't look at me. Don't look at me, Daddy. Don't look at me, Grandpa. Don't look at me, Mom. Don't look at me, Grandma. Don't look at me." And of course, I've always gone, "Okay." Now, have you ever had a kid do that to you? Have you ever, as a kid, said that to an adult in your life? I have. If you know what I am talking about here, then you have been exposed to our humanity, because a child or an adult can show us how necessary it is to us that we be unobserved in our doing wrong, or when we are terribly self-conscious and don't want to be observed. That's why getting up in front of people and giving some kind of talk, like me up here on Sunday mornings, is scary for a lot of people. I'm aware that you are watching me. Don't look at me. Those of us who always want to work in the background and not be seen are essentially saying, "Don't look at me, world," because of it's either a fear of insecurity or a lack of feeling good enough to be seen. In fact, we have become so good at hiding in our lives, most of the time we don't even realize that we're playing this game. And I will venture to say, without the slightest bit of doubt, that there isn't a person in this room who is not at this very moment hiding something or hiding from something. Think about it. Now, this is where you should say, "Don't look at me, Jack." But I am. "Don't look at me, Jack." Aren't we always hiding things? We hide our valuables because we're afraid somebody might steal them or take them from us. We hide things because we don't want anyone else to know about them. And it isn't just our possessions that we hide. There are things about our lives and ourselves that we don't want anyone to know about. We hide all kinds of things from each other. When I was a kid, I did some things that I never told my parents about. Some of them were pretty bad when I think about it. As a parent, I have done things that I would never tell my kids about. As a husband, there are things that are hidden from Berta, and I'm sure it's vice versa. Right, guys? Right, ladies? Don't look at me, Jack. I also have feelings deep down inside of me that I will probably never share with anyone. I have shortcomings and failures and stinking thinking and bad thoughts about people, which I feel bad about at times, and I hide them away. And I hope that I can bury some of them deep enough that I can't even find them myself. And yes, it's true, there are even things we try to hide from ourselves. Don't we do it a lot, actually? Don't we try to hide our shortcomings and our sins by running down somebody else, because then we don't look so bad by comparison? Isn't that really what gossip is all about? Don't we tell jokes about people or make fun of others because it makes us look a little bit better in our own eyes? And we're quick to point out the failures of others and their problems because it keeps the eyes off of our failures and our problems. Don't look at me, world. Don't look at me, God. What are some of the things we try to hide? How about our pride? You know, we hide our pride through false humility. When somebody pays us a compliment, instead of saying, "Thank you, I'm really pleased with myself on how I did that," we say, "Oh, it was nothing," or "It was just okay." "Oh, it's all about God doing it through me." I actually pride myself on my Sunday morning messages. I mean, I want to make sure that I actually give you some meat to chew on when you leave here, and not just some sawdust for a message. I want to make sure that I don't bore you either, because I've been bored in church before. But when you compliment me, I kind of go, oh, shucks. For some reason, we have to keep all of that hidden, this stuff. This all falls under the umbrella of peer pressure, really. What about our fears? Now, there is something we all work very hard to hide, our fears. Take, for example, the fear of not being accepted or loved. This also falls under the category, by the way, of peer pressure. And it starts early in life and it lasts through most of all of life. We hide the fear of not being accepted and not being loved through the way that we behave or the clothes that we wear or the cars that we drive or the job we have or the place we live. And sometimes we hide it by the cigarettes we smoke or the booze we drink or the drugs we take. And we even hide it in the language we use. And all this politically correct crap is peer pressure being applied to our language. We want people to like us, and we're afraid that if we don't act in a certain way or if we don't hang out with the right crowd, we won't be accepted. And friends, there isn't a person in this room who doesn't have that kind of fear, and there isn't a person who isn't trying very hard to hide that kind of fear as well, the fear of being unacceptable or unloved. Did you know that as far as games go, hide-and-seek is the oldest game in the history of humanity? And if there was such a thing as a hide-and-seek Hall of Fame, we'd all be in it. And we come by it very honestly, because this game goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The very first prayer that ever spoken after the fall of man was, "Don't look at me, God. Don't look at me." God came to walk in the garden to be with the man and the woman and called, "Where are you?" Now, Adam and Eve had just eaten the fruit of that tree that they weren't supposed to eat from, and here comes God walking in the garden. In this story, God is it. You know what it means when somebody says, "You're it." In this story, God is it. Read with me Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Here we go. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.'" And that, my friends, is how hide-and-seek was invented. And we have been playing it ever since. Don't look at me, God. Anytime we choose to do wrong or withhold doing right, we will choose to hide it as well. In fact, it may be that all of our prayers, of all the prayers that we say in this life, the most common one, the most embarrassing one, the one prayer that we least acknowledge ever saying is simply this: "Don't look at me, God." Sometimes it is simply because we know that we are about to sin and we're going to go into darkness with part of our lives, or we already have, and it's as old as a race. You know, we quote John 3:16 and 17 a lot, but what follows is also eternally significant. But let's read first John 3:16 and 17. Here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Now, those two verses tell us that Jesus came to save us, not send us to damnation and hell. It's as if God says, "Where are you?" And you can put your own name in there. The problem is how we respond to God that calls our salvation into question. Read with me verses 18 and 19 here, which is printed as well. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The prayer that is being said is, don't look at me, God. We go into the darkness. Don't look at me, God. A businessman who's on a road traveling a lot finds female companionship outside his marriage. The woman who wants to steal another woman's spouse. The mom with an anger problem berates her kids. The executive who pads his expense account. The employee who deliberately makes a co-worker look bad. They all have to say a little prayer. Don't look at me, God. The student who cheats on an exam, the church member who takes the time to gossip, the alcoholic who gives in and takes a drink, the drug addict who says, it won't matter if I do it once, the person on a diet who takes that extra piece of cake, all of them must say a little prayer. Don't look at me, God. Now, we may not say it aloud. We probably don't even admit it to ourselves, but it's a choice that our heart makes. Don't look at me, God. And after a while, the prayer becomes so ingrained in us that we're just not even aware of it. It's like the scripture says, we love darkness more than light, and we flip the switch and we turn the light off. The Bible tells us a great deal about God's grace and his love. The Bible tells us that we were created to live in relationship with him. It tells us that God loves us no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how terrible our sin. God loves us. He accepts us just as we are. God loves us whether we know it or not. He loves us whether we deserve it or not. He loves us whether we want it or not. God's love is constantly seeking and pursuing us and constantly calls to us, where are you? And when God asks you a question, he's not looking for information. You know, I've been with you people a long time. Being a long-term pastor, I know a lot. Do you know that some of us come to church to hide from God? Some of us know he is calling to us, and we know that we aren't living the way we should. Sometimes we think that coming to church will satisfy God somehow, and we can placate him at least for now, and we can throw a little money into the plate, and it will relieve us of some of our guilt, and God will see us do it and somehow overlook who we really are. How many times does this happen on Sunday morning? Family gets ready to go to church and they end up in a violent argument, screaming at the kids and each other, and yet when they walk into church, they're all smiles. And when they leave, the battle is joined again. And I'll reveal a secret to you, Bert, and I've done that probably several times over the years. Some people don't come to church because they don't want God to look at them. I've run into this a lot. People don't want to come to church because God might be looking at them. They also leave a church because there's just too much light in that particular church. And they want darkness to hide in. We all wear masks and we all hide behind them, even sitting here today. We don't want God to see us as we really are. We say, don't look at me, God. So Adam hid himself from God, but he also tried to hide his sin, and so do we. When God asked him if he had eaten that fruit from that tree, he said, and this is somewhat of a loose translation, but I'm pretty sure this is the way it went down. Don't look at me, God. It was this woman right over here. She's the one who got me to do that. And when God asked the woman about this, she said, "Don't look at me, God. It was that serpent over there. He's the one, because he talked me into it." And you got to hear it. Don't look at me, God. It's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. Why do you think they did that? Is it because they thought that God wouldn't love them anymore and there would be some punishment coming their way? Of course. We've all felt like that. And we've all tried to hide. We're hiding right now, some of us. We're hiding right now so that God won't see us as we really are. And we're trying to hide our sins so that God won't know how bad we are. We think that some way or somehow, if we hide all this stuff away, God won't see it and he won't know about it. And we're like little two-year-old Lindsay who put their hands over her eyes to hide from her father. God sees you even if you do this. God sees you even if you say a prayer. Don't look at me, God. Read with me Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. Here we go. "Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" God knows all about us. He is seeking us. He is calling to us out of his love. You know, we adopted the name Lampstand Church back in 2009. Read with me Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. Here we go. "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Take heed then how you hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." I said earlier that some of us come to church to hide from God, and I wonder why you are here. I also know that some people don't come to this church or have left this church because we are a lampstand church. And we do get the light up off the ground, and it shines. And some people don't like that because they're hiding. Some people want darkness, so they switch the light off. They leave because they love the darkness that they're living in because it hides things. But God loves us, and we're the ones who make him out to be the enemy. You know, when my brother saw his daughter Lindsay standing there with her hands over her eyes, his heart was filled with love for his daughter. So he played along with her because he didn't want to spoil the game for her. And he went around the room saying, "Where are you, Lindsay? Where are you?" And when she could no longer contain herself, she threw her hands away and said, "Here I am." And she ran to her father and hugged him. And her father's heart was filled with joy at being found by his daughter. Now, I don't know what game you are playing with God, but I bet it is some version of hide and seek. Friends, if we really want to, we don't have to hide anymore. When God calls to us through his grace and he says, "Where are you?" we don't have to be afraid. He invites each of us to take our hands away from our eyes and to know the joy of being found. I want to read with me again John 3:16 and 17, this incredibly good news. Here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." You don't have to hide. Ollie, ollie, oxen free. Come out, wherever you are. Let's pray. Lord, we have a tendency to hide ourselves in plain sight. Help us to learn that you love us with the Father's love, that you sent your Son to take away our sin, and we don't have to hide. We ask it in Jesus' name.